thank you, everybody. Appreciate your patience and the assemblies of time. Turn back to Mr. Nelson and pick right up.
Yep, we can pick right up, and just to remind everyone, yeah, we got about an hour more, and then we're going to start looking for a good time to wrap up tonight's testimony and move, you know, several other points. So, Mr. Strong, I'll hand it back to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. I think we were just about to talk about the proposed apartment dwellings. Will those apartment dwellings be served by public water and public sewer facilities?
Yes, both.
And the zoning ordinance, particularly section 225-501.2.B, permits multifamily apartment dwellings as part of a master plan development area, correct?
Correct.
The master plan process provides for a density bonus of 25% for apartments. Is that density bonus required or being utilized for the 40 apartment dwellings that are proposed as part of this application?
Yes, it is.
You mean no density bonus is required for the 40 dwellings that are proposed, correct?
Correct.
And no uses that are permitted by special exception in the underlying district are proposed as part of the application, correct?
Correct.
In your opinion, does the application comply with the applicable standards for multifamily apartment dwellings set forth in section 225-501.2 of the zoning ordinance?
Yes, it does.
You previously testified regarding the open space and the draft condominium declaration. Is it your testimony that the common open space will be included as part of the common elements of the condominium that will be maintained by the condominium association?
Yes, it will be.
And that condominium association will be responsible for maintenance and operation of the common open space, including all buffer yards, landscaping, etc.?
Yes.
If the application is approved, does the applicant agree to comply with the applicable subdivision and land development plan approval provisions of the township subdivision and land development ordinance where applicable?
Yes.
If the application is approved, does the applicant agree to comply with all applicable required improvement provisions of the subdivision and land development ordinance?
Yes.
In your opinion, does the application comply with all applicable requirements for master plan development set forth in section 225-501.58 of the zoning ordinance?
Yes.
In your opinion, will the master plan development adversely affect the health or safety of residents in the neighborhood or district in which the development is located?
I don't think so.
In your opinion, will the master plan development be detrimental to the use or development of or change the essential character of the neighborhood or district in which the master plan development is proposed?
Yes.
Let me restate that.
We heard his answer. He said yes.
Why don't you restate that question? Because I believe the witness was distracted by the microphone.
Yeah.
We're not going to play those games. So just restate the question, please.
Sure. In your opinion, will the master plan development be detrimental to the use or development of or change the essential character of a neighborhood or district in which the development is proposed?
No.
In your opinion, does the application comply with all applicable requirements of the zoning ordinance?
Yes, it does.
Did the Tri-County Regional Planning Commission provide a letter supporting the project and the proposed road improvements?
Yes, they did.
I'm showing you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit A27. Does that letter state that the Harrisburg Area Transportation Study identified the Route 322 corridor and more specifically the Fishburne Road intersection as one of the three most congested in the three-county region?
Yes, it does.
And does that letter support the project and the proposed improvements?
It does.
The narrative that was submitted as part of the application and marked as applicant's exhibit A26 for purposes of the hearing tonight, do you adopt that narrative, including the statements contained in the narrative about ordinance compliance as part of your testimony?
Yes, I do.
Those are all the questions I have for Mr. Gates.
Mr. McNair, as the representative of the township, we'll have you start with the cross-examination. We are then going to go through the represented parties, and then I'll go through the unrepresented parties. So, Mr. McNair, you're with us. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Nelson. With respect to that last question that was asked of you, Exhibit A26 is the narrative, correct?
Yes.
And you've reviewed that entire narrative?
Yes, I have.
And it is your testimony that it's your opinion that this plan complies with everything contained in the narrative, correct?
Correct.
And in addition to that, that the narrative does not in any way violate the zoning ordinance, correct?
Correct.
So if I could refer your attention to page 43 of the narrative. Yes, I should state for the record that exhibit number of the narrative is the contract.
Exhibit 826?
826. Okay. So are you on page, I think it's page 43?
I'm on 43.
Mr. McNair, could you try to get the microphone to work?
Sure.
Yeah.
And referring your attention to the bottom of the page and the paragraph that talks about section 225-501.19D, do you see that?
Yes.
It states canopies serving more than 8 vehicles must provide a visual break in canopy size or projection to avoid the overly simplified, unarticulated, or commercial look of longer canopies. Do you see that?
Yes.
And this is referring to the canopy that services the major fuel use, right?
Correct.
And then the response in the narrative is, the proposed fueling canopy is designed and proposed for 6 pumps serving 12 vehicles. As depicted on the building elevation set, in order to help provide for visual breaks, the fueling canopy is proposed to include a slope, roof, and exposed roof trusses. Given the foregoing, the application complies with this requirement. See that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So the ordinance itself, you would agree with me, requires a visual break in the canopy size, right?
Correct.
But the plan that you're proposing actually doesn't have a specific break. It's actually entirely one structure, correct? There's no actual physical break.
Right. I think the barn, like the barn sloped canopy, with the exposed bar joists, though, I think, you know, the bar joists are spaced apart. I think that creates the break or the interest in the look.
Meaning that, is that the underside of the canopy you're talking about?
Yeah, I think they're partly exposed on one side of the canopy.
Okay. If you take a look, though, it talks about this is to avoid the commercial look of longer canopy. Right?
Correct.
So is it your testimony that this ordinance provision does not require a physical break in the actual canopy itself?
Right. I think the separation of the bar joists accomplishes that same thing.
All right. We can go back to the specific uses that we're talking about here. The first use that we were just talking about with respect to the canopy is the full-service major gas station, right? And that's Sheetz.
Correct.
Is that going to be a 24-hour-a-day operation?
I believe it will be, yes.
Okay. And 7 days a week, right?
Correct.
All right. And that has a proposed convenience store of 6,070 square feet. Is that accurate according to MP3.0?
That's correct.
So, do you have any idea of how many employees will be associated with that use?
I personally don't have that information.
Yeah, if I could offer, we will have a representative from Sheets who will address all of the requirements applicable to the building design.
All right. So let me move on to the child daycare center then. That is the proposed building that's on the southwestern side of the property, correct?
That's correct.
And that is 9,892 square feet, right?
That's correct.
Do you know yet who either the owner of that property would be or the tenant, if that's how it's going to be structured?
Yep. A Linlow governor will remain the owner, but the tenant will be Kitty Academy.
All right. And so you have a representative from Kitty Academy who's going to provide testimony concerning the number of employees and potential patrons?
Yes. All right. Yes, they will testify.
Okay. And that will be a single use, correct? In other words, that entire building will be comprised of the child daycare, right?
Correct. Kitty Academy will occupy the whole building.
And that representative will also provide us with testimony concerning the state regulations that they comply with, the certifications, whether it be state or federal, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So moving on then to the medical office building, which is on the southern side of the property, correct?
That's correct.
The proposed size of that building is 9,709 square feet, right?
That's correct.
And is that proposed to have just one specific medical use, or is there the potential of that building being carved up into multiple medical office uses?
It's possible that it would be divided up. I highly doubt it would be more than two tenants. More than likely, it would be just one.
But the potential exists that you could have, let's say, a dentist, and you could have a general practitioner in that building?
That's correct.
All right. And are we going to hear any testimony from anyone other than yourself concerning that proposed use?
No. Now that dialysis care pulled out, I'm in.
Okay. And really, at this point, it's kind of just a guess as to what specific type of medical office that will get used for.
That's correct.
Right? Because the zoning ordinance actually does permit different specific types of medical office use within that type of building, or within that type of use, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So you wouldn't be able to really give us any testimony today with respect to number of employees, number of patients, hours of operation, correct?
That would be correct, other than just based on general knowledge of other medical office buildings that we have.
Right. But you would agree with me that some medical office buildings, you know, they have varying hours of operation. In other words, maybe like a dentistry-type practice might be your normal 9-to-5 type situation, whereas some other types of medical offices might have nighttime hours, right?
Yeah, I would say most medical, in my experience, are in that, you know, 7 o'clock to 3 or 8 to 4. I don't often see them, you know, into the evening or night hours.
Well, you would agree that some medical offices would offer some nighttime hours to accommodate those people who actually work your 9-to-5 job, right?
Possible, yeah. Yes.
And potentially weekends, too, correct?
Possible.
Okay. But for today's purposes, we don't know the specific use, so we can only speculate with respect to that, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And then let's move on to the mixed-use apartment. Well, it's apartments on the second two floors, correct?
Yes.
And do we know the size of those units? Are they only going to be one-bedroom apartments, or will they be multiple-bedroom units?
They will be almost all one-bedroom.
Okay, so you said almost. There is a proposal to have some units that are more than one?
I want to say there might be a few studios and then the rest one bedroom.
So the studio being smaller than a one bedroom?
Correct.
Usually just a full room plus maybe bathroom off of the studio?
That's correct.
Okay. But do you know how many studios? You said a couple.
There's 20 per floor. I would say probably 4 of those 20 would be studio, the rest one bedroom. They will all be roughly 800 to 825 square feet.
All right, and then you have retail uses proposed for the first floor, correct?
That's correct.
As well as a restaurant, correct?
Yes.
And the retail spaces will occupy, according to MP 3.0, 14,567 square feet. Is that accurate?
That's pretty accurate, yeah.
And do we know anything about the types of retail stores that would be included in this, or is that still in the works?
We have one lease signed for a small restaurant, and we're actively talking to two others.
All right, so the plan itself talks about, and I guess your narrative also talks about, the fact that there will be a restaurant on the first floor. Is this other small restaurant in addition to that restaurant?
The other two are not food. They're other retail.
Okay. So in total, there would only be one restaurant, right? On the first floor, or we don't know?
Yeah, there could be two, yeah.
Okay. Really, what I'm trying to get at is the plan or the narrative suggests that there is a proposed restaurant of approximately 3,000 square feet. Did you see that on the plan or on
yes.
your narrative?
Yep.
And then, in addition to that, it's listing out 14,567 square feet of retail. Do you see that?
Correct.
So, in total, there's about 17,567 square feet of building interior use on the first floor, right?
That would be for retail, yes.
Okay. And the possibility exists that in addition to that 3,000 square foot restaurant, there might also be another restaurant as part of that retail space.
Possibly, yeah.
And you can't tell us today what the other retail stores or shops might be. Is that accurate?
That's accurate, yes.
Okay.
Remember, the first floor of the building is slightly bigger than 17. It's closer to 19, but the first floor will also have a lobby and an elevator for take you up to the apartment. So there's kind of common area
right.
that won't be leased out on the first floor.
Okay. And in theory, that would be in a central location in the middle of that building?
Correct.
Did you take part at all with respect to the layout for the internal circulation of vehicle traffic?
Yes.
All right. It sounds like you have pretty extensive real estate experience and background. You've put together land development plans before with the help of engineers, right?
Sure.
Just directing your attention to the right end that comes off of Governor Road. You see that area there?
Yes.
So what's proposed here is that if someone is driving in an eastbound direction on Governor Road and they wanted to use the sheets, they would make the right turn into that driveway, correct?
That's correct.
And then they could make the first left, and either if they were getting fuel, they would go to a pump, or they could use one of the parking spaces that's for the convenience store, correct?
That's correct.
Now, after they have fueled up, and they are now wanting to go back out onto Governor Road, their only method to do so at this time would be to take that driveway down to Sand Hill Road, correct?
That's correct.
Make the left on Sand Hill, correct?
That's correct.
Then get to that newly signalized intersection at Fishburne and Sand Hill, correct?
That's correct.
And make a left onto Fishburne Road, correct?
That's correct.
And get into the right-hand lane and make the right onto Governor.
Perfect. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So if someone lives back, let's say, on Peach Way, and they're traveling eastbound on Governor Road, they may also decide, hey, I'm going to make a right onto this driveway here and take that back, and then I'll get on Sand Hill to Peach. Is that a possibility?
I guess if they fail to turn a cherry, I guess they could.
So they have the other option. What if they actually live on Sand Hill Road, or they live on Fishburne Road to the south of the property? really my question is, are you concerned about people using that as a cut-through?
It's possible, but I think as you're traveling eastbound on Governor and you approach the Fishburn intersection, that right-hand movement is going to be somewhat free-flowing, so there's probably not going to be a lot of stacking. I think cars are going to make that right turn on Fishburn and proceed. Now, if your question is, could we get a right out onto Governor?
I'm not suggesting that. My question really goes a little bit more to internal safety and the use of that driveway, because that driveway is going to be used by every patron from Sheetz, right?
Correct.
They don't have any other option. They have to use that, correct?
If they're eastbound on Governor.
Right. They could come in off Fishburn and make a right off Fishburn, and then they could make a right back out onto Fishburn, correct?
Correct.
But Fishburn is not as highly traveled as Governor, is that correct?
Yeah, that's probably true.
All right, so...
I'll defer to Greg.
Okay, we'll get to that later, right? With respect to that internal driveway, though, it is going past, you know, a parking area, a number of vertical parking spaces, correct?
Yes.
And then it goes past the entrance for the daycare center, correct?
That's correct.
So have you thought of any, like, traffic calming measures or anything to ensure that, you know, people that now have gotten off Governor Road and have to recirculate all the way back out and around the whole property that are going through there, I'm asking if you've thought of a traffic calming measure that might slow some people down so that we're not having people just shooting along that straight line to get to the relocated Sand Hill Road.
We could certainly explore that as part of the land development process, whether that be signage or maybe one of those kind of low speed bump kind of things. One thing that is not apparent from the drawing is that if you follow that lane back through there, there's a there's a PPL duck bank, and there's a PPL right-of-way exactly parallel to that drive lane. So that was kind of the genesis of why that drive lane is there, is to not have any buildings over top of that PPL right-of-way. It's a high-voltage buried line.
That runs above that driveway?
It's underneath.
Oh, yep. Underneath.
Okay. Yep.
All right. So if I'm someone that's driving on Fishburn Road and I want to access the Sheetz, the way that I would do that would be to make the left onto the relocated Sand Hill Road. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Which direction are you driving?
I'm sorry. If I'm driving northbound on Fishburn and I'm south of the relocated Sand Hill Road, the best way for me, and actually it looks like the only way for me to access the entire property, would be to make a left onto Sand Hill Road. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
And then make a right into the facility. Correct?
That would be correct, yep.
And then if I want to go to Sheetz, I need to utilize, again, that same driveway, but in the opposite direction from what we just talked about, correct?
Correct. Unless you're driving a 4x4 and you drive over the pork chop or something.
Right, so we don't want that.
Just joking.
We still wouldn't want that. They're there for a reason, right?
Yep.
And you actually have a pork chop that's over at Fishburn Road for the exit that's in between Sheetz and your mixed-use building, correct?
That's correct, yep.
And that's proposed to have signage there to prevent or prohibit people from making the left turn out onto Fishburn Road, right?
That's correct.
And you also have something in addition to that. You have a physical barrier that's proposed in the middle of Fishburn Road, correct?
Right. From the pork chop back to the signal at the relocated Sand Hill.
So if someone attempted to go over the pork chop, they're still going to have this issue with the physical barrier in the roof, correct?
That's correct.
And that barrier does result in people not being able to make left turns off of Fishburne Road into the properties on the eastern side of Fishburne. Is that correct?
Correct.
And has that been addressed? I think I saw that in the comment letter, but has that issue been addressed with the property owners?
We are still working with PennDOT to come to some conclusions on these things.
Okay.
I was reluctant to go to some of the property owners without knowing somewhat definitively what's going to happen, as opposed to just speculating.
So it's possible that something other than that physical barrier could be utilized if the PennDOT said, hey, this doesn't look like a good measure to put in place.
You're referring to the concrete medium?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's pretty certain.
What do you mean by that?
Not much. I think that's PennDOT's preferred way of handling it. The illegal lefts in and out of that right in, right out.
Okay. Then turning to pedestrian circulation inside the complex, it looks to me like you've got, and I guess that's what the heavy black line is that surrounds the property, correct?
Right.
So that's a 8-foot wide walking / bike path?
Yes, it is.
And then it appears you have crosswalks that go across the different entrances and exits. Is that true?
Yep. So there's a crosswalk that goes across the right in, right out. There's a crosswalk proposed across Fishburne, across Sand Hill, and then another one across Fishburne.
Okay. And then when you get down even to Sand Hill Road, it continues along the northern side of Sand Hill, correct?
You need me to prep right in here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And then what happens, is there a crosswalk there at the driveway? For where the driveway would come out, so the people that are coming out from Sheets and making the left onto Sand Hill, is there any type of proposed crosswalk there?
I don't believe currently there are any sidewalks along the existing Sand Hill Road.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So in other words, that wouldn't connect to something on the other side if you did put a crosswalk there, because
correct,
there's no sidewalk.
Yes, our proposed 8-foot trail would kind of end at that intersection.
All right. So let's say I'm a resident who lives in that apartment complex, and I have a child who actually attends the daycare in the same facility. The method to get there would be to walk across the parking lot.
Yeah, I guess you could go on the sidewalk in front of the medical building and then cut over.
All right, and then obviously you'd have to cross over the driveway, though at a point that doesn't have any type of crosswalk, right?
Correct.
Okay. So is there a thought to maybe putting something somewhere that would allow for pedestrian access to get to that child care facility?
Yeah, I think you're raising a lot of good issues. I think when we get to a land development plan, we can focus on some of those issues in how to get through the site with effective sidewalks and things like that.
Okay. Yep. And as part of conditional use, of course, you're familiar with the fact that the Board of Supervisors can place certain conditions on an approval, right?
Yes.
And of course, conditional use relates to health, safety, welfare issues, right?
Correct.
So, and that's why I'm raising some of the issues, but I agree with you. Certainly land development could be a stage where these things are looked at as well. With respect to ownership, um, looking at Exhibit A5. Do you have the exhibit packet in front of you? So A5 is the real estate exchange agreement with Grandview Corporate Place Associates, right?
Correct.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but is that the one that relates to that little triangular piece and the swap of land for that horizontal piece?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So you are currently an equitable owner of the triangular piece. Is that accurate?
Correct.
Pursuant to this A5, correct?
Yes.
So A5 was entered into, it looks like, back in 2017. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. But there has been no conveyance of the parcel, right?
Correct.
And this still remains an active agreement. It did not expire or terminate for any reason.
Correct.
Okay. And same question related to A6. With respect to Mr. Is it LePole?
Edward LePole.
LePole's property. Is an agreement that is from 2016, so actually even earlier than A5, right?
That's correct.
But that is still an active agreement, even though there has not been a conveyance. Is that true?
Correct. If you turn further back, I want to say maybe like page 9 or 10, you'll see that there was an addendum to correct it, and then there was... There was an assignment from Cray to Linlow.
You mentioned some prior approvals related to past conditional use. I guess it was one conditional use hearing back in 2002, 2003?
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And that was brought by CNS Cray and Sheets, right?
Yeah. That actually might have just been a land development plan.
Okay. In any event, what was proposed at that time was no relocation of Sand Hill Road, correct?
I think there was proposed.
Oh, there was?
Yep.
And there were only two uses proposed for the property at that time?
Yeah, I think an office building.
An office building and then the Sheets, correct?
No, the one that I was referring to in 2002 and 2003 was by James Nardo and his wife. And that was strictly for the land south of the existing Sand Hill. It was just an office building.
Okay. But you also gave some testimony, and I thought you said it was related to a conditional use approval for this property by CNS Cray and Sheets.
Correct. That was in 2017 or 18.
Okay. And that expired, correct?
Yes.
That particular conditional use approval, was that just two uses as well?
It would have been the retail building that would have partly held the Hershey Pharmacy, and I think there would have been other restaurant and other retail.
In one building?
Yes, one 20,000 square foot building, and then the Sheets.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that building would have been much larger than any of the proposed buildings that you have, right?
Correct.
With respect to public water and sewer, you mentioned that the site will be utilizing public water and sewer. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
And specifically, you said the apartments will have public water and sewer as well, correct?
Correct.
So have you explored with the department and or authorities whether or not there is adequate use available? In other words, a lot of times someone will obtain an adequacy letter regarding water or sewer. Have you explored that with the department?
Yes.
Okay.
And yes.
Have they given you confirmation that they have sufficient?
I believe so, yes.
the sufficient capacity.
Capacity. I'm sorry. I did not finish my sentence. The signage exhibit that you supply relating to Governor Road signage, it looked like it would have signage for both the eastbound and westbound traffic on that road. Is that accurate?
Correct.
So if I'm traveling in a westbound direction on Governor Road and I see that sign, I'm not going to be able to access the property, right?
But right, unless you went down the chair and kind of around. Yeah.
Okay. And that actually is my question. So someone who sees it and decides, hey, I'd like to go to Sheets, would have to pass the property. They would have to go down to Cherry, make a left on Cherry. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then what is their access to get back to this property?
They would have to go down to... can't think of the name of the side street. Turn left and then turn left immediately onto
Sand Hill. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a road off of Cherry that would connect over to Sand Hill.
Right.
And is that a residential area?
Yeah. I think it's the same road that takes you back into Country Meadows, I think.
Okay.
Well, that's all Sand Hill. It's Cherry.
Yeah, Sand Hill.
It's Cherry to Sand Hill. It's Cherry from Governor Road to Sand Hill.
Folks, we appreciate the help, but you have to be sworn. Participate. So, does that
yes,
help your recollection of the names?
Yes, Cherry Drive comes back and kind of bends to the left. Yes.
All right. So your recollection has been refreshed.
It has been refreshed.
And Cherry Road at some point does connect with Sand Hill. Is that correct?
Correct.
But going back along Cherry and then coming back up along Sand Hill, is that a residential area?
Yes.
In other words, you wouldn't want to have traffic take that route, correct? Especially, and I should clarify that, we're talking about traffic. You want to get some water?
No, I'm good. Okay. Just, I'm on the tail end of a cold.
Okay, I think many of us are. So again, this is the hypothetical motorist who's traveling west on Governor Road, they're passing by Sheets and seeing that they like to stop to get a coffee or something else. They can't enter off of Governor Road because of the right-in only. And really their only option, unless they really go way out of their way, would be to make the left on Cherry and then make the left on Sand Hill Road, correct?
That's correct.
And now they're going to enter from the back of this proposed development and drive up that driveway.
Correct.
Okay. I guess Sheets is going to be visible from Governor Road in either direction, right? You're going to have signage on the building?
There'll be a sign in front of Sheets out by Governor that would hopefully be visible by cars on the other side of the intersection going west.
You might catch a motorist to suggest that they should turn onto Fishburne Road.
Correct.
And then they could access with a right-in only, right?
Correct.
And so that signage, is that proposed to be right at the corner of Governor Road and Fishburne?
I think it's about midpoint between the corner and the right in, right out.
The expectation, though, is that Sheets building would likely be visible to motorists on the eastern side of Fishburne Road, if they're traveling on Governor, but east of Fishburne, you would be able to see
right? Yeah, I think you could, yeah.
So that they would then potentially get in the left-hand turn lane, make the left onto Fishburne, and then access with the right in only?
Yep.
It would be people, though, that are not familiar with the area that might pass by the intersection of Fishburne on Governor headed west and then not be able to access from the front of the property, correct?
That's correct.
And what the proposal to have signage on both sides of that sign with the write-in only. What is the purpose for that signage to be on the westbound side at that location, at the write-in only location?
I guess you could have people coming from Hawkersville and approaching. I think it's just to give people warning before they get to the write-in.
But they can't make the turn there, right? Because it is a write-in only. So they're on, if they're on Governor headed west, and they see the sign, and it's going at, you suggested it would have a sign not only for the Sheetz, but also for the retail stores, right?
Okay, so you're assuming they've come through the intersection, they've kind of missed that left turn onto Fishburne.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because, are you proposing signage at the corner of Governor Road and Fishburne that would also notify of the other retail stores and let's say the medical office as well?
I'm going to just take a second and kind of refresh.
Yeah, take your time. And I guess that's exhibit A7, right?
A8.
Scott, you might want to consider the laser pointer so that we're all clear. We're following you, but it can get a little confusing when you guys go back and forth.
Okay, I will try to do that. I'm definitely a little backwards here, but maybe I could come out and sit the opposite way.
Or even give it to Mr. Gates, and then he can confirm what area you're asking.
Oh, you have one, Mr. Gates.
Okay, so I was a little bit off. So the sign is basically right there.
Okay, and for the record, you're indicating the right entrance off of Fishburne into the site.
Correct, and that's on the exhibit. That's sign B.
So will there be any signage in this location?
I don't believe so, other than whatever would be on the Sheetz building itself.
Okay. So the question...
Just for the record, that location was the intersection of Fishburne and Governor's?
Yes, and to be a little even more specific, it would be the southwest corner of the intersection? Yeah, the southwest corner of Governor Road and Fishburne Road intersection.
Correct.
Which is on your site, correct?
Yes.
So... My question relates to, no one's going to know what retail stores are located in this development until they're past that intersection of Governor Road and Fishburne Road. And now they may see a sign in this area, right here, that, correct, there's going to be a sign there.
That's correct.
And that's going to tell them that there is such and such retail store or such and such restaurant in this development, but you're not allowed to turn into that entrance, right?
That's correct.
And so again, that person would, in theory, have to go up to Cherry and make the left onto relocated Sand Hill Road and come in the back, right?
That's correct.
Have you thought about anything to, potentially rectify that so that we can direct someone who's coming west on Governor Road to make the left onto Fishburne before they have to go down Cherry and come up Sand Hill?
Well, I mean, one of the challenges we're having is just working with PennDOT to get, access. I would love to have a right in coming off of Governor. No, sorry, a left in if you're westbound, but there's just no way. There's just no way they would allow that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And my question I think goes a little bit more to kind of notice to the motorist. If you kept the design as it is there a way to notify a motorist so that we're not having a number of cars go down Cherry and back up Sand Hill Road?
I mean, I guess we could explore putting a sign at the corner. The challenge is that whole area is landscaped and buffered, to screen the cars and the parking and everything. So to, well, and the walking trail, you know, so you got a lot of stuff right there. I think to put a sign there would probably require the removal, or you have to push the screening away to make that happen. And that I think from a beauty standpoint, that really wouldn't be good.
Yeah, it would detract from what you have planned buffer-wise and otherwise. Okay. Refer your attention to the cost-benefit analysis, which I thought was A10. It is Exhibit A10. Can you take a look at that? Okay. So, did you prepare this exhibit?
Yeah.
Yes.
Before we get started, Chuck, is it possible for you to put A10 up on the screen?
Is it possible for us to see a copy of A10?
I will get to that at the end of the hearing.
Thank you.
Yep.
Will that be after our first examination?
No, that'll be in about 20 minutes.
So I'm another member of Lindlow Properties prepared this.
So my first question then was, were you the one who actually came up with the calculations or the numbers that are contained on Exhibit A10?
Some of them, yes.
So with respect to like the fair market value in the top paragraph there for sheets and for all the different uses, did you come up with those fair market values?
Yes, I did.
Is that based on your experience with real estate?
Correct.
Did you contact an appraiser related to that?
No, I don't want to say it's common knowledge, but those buildings fall into a very specific range of values.
Okay. And these are rough estimates, is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. And then with respect to the estimated revenue, did you do those calculations that are down? Now I'm actually looking down in the school district fiscal impact section. It says real estate tax revenue. You see that?
Yes. A lot of these, once you feed in the number of employees and things into the form, it self-calculates.
And that actually goes a little bit towards my question, which is, how do you do that when you don't know the specific uses that are going to be there? For example, you don't know whether it's a restaurant, you don't know whether it's some other retail, you don't know if you're having two medical office uses, you don't know what type of medical office use, so you don't know the number of employees, the hours, etc., and therefore you don't know what the income is, right?
Right, to some extent you have to make an educated guess.
Okay.
Like on the top section, you know, the sheets value at $5 million, the kidney academy, $3 million, the dialysis. But if you took out dialysis and put in another medical, it probably would be very close to that number.
Right.
The mixed use retail, so $25,300,000 total fair market value. The common level ratio is a known, except that number gets published by the Department of Revenue. So that's all very mathematical.
And it's really based on a lot of estimates and projected uses, right? And projected number of employees, et cetera.
Right.
Okay. All right, I'm going to turn my attention to traffic. You testified a little bit regarding traffic issues and the fact that you feel the proposal will improve the existing traffic conditions, right?
Yes.
And the basis for that opinion is that primarily based on the relocation of Sand Hill Road?
I think a bunch of stuff. I think everybody's been working on this for a while. I mean, Governor Road, as probably most people know, it was widened, I'm going to say 3 years ago or something like that, pre-COVID. I think that widening made a lot of good sense. If we widen Fishburne Road, we will be widening it basically on our side of the property. So we will not be, very minimal encroachment on the other side. Basically, an entire lane of travel is taken out of our side. So I think once we widen this, it's going to be a huge improvement. I think putting in the signal at the relocated Sand Hill is going to be a huge help. PennDOT had some trepidation about it, but I think ultimately it was either a signal or no signal, and I think PennDOT realized, even though the distance from Governor to the relocated is too close, for a normal design, they felt that it was a huge improvement to put the signal there to basically control the flow. Okay. So I think ultimately, I think all these improvements are very good.
Chuck, also, I think it'd be nicer if we put the rendering up, A25. Thank you.
So PennDOT provided some feedback with respect to the proposal to have that signalized intersection at Sand Hill and Fishburne?
Correct.
What is it, your proposal to signalize that, or was it something that ultimately PennDOT recommended?
I don't want to tread on Greg Creasy. He's the traffic engineer, but I guess you could say we proposed it. I think the relocated Sand Hill Road has been kind of in the works for a long time. It was in the Harrisburg area, the HATS study. It was in the regional traffic plan. So it wasn't anything that we created. It kind of was already a known fact. It was already designed.
My question relates specifically to utilization of a traffic signal as opposed to some other traffic device, like stop signs or something similar. Do you remember if it was you as the applicant that proposed the signalization, or was it PennDOT?
I guess it was us. I will probably defer to Greg.
And I can ask Greg when he testifies to that. You mentioned that there was some reservation by PennDOT with respect to the distance between the signals, meaning the signal at Governor Road and Fishburne, and now the proposed signal at Sand Hill and Fishburne, right?
Correct.
And is that based on the fact that you could have enough queuing of vehicles that they might queue all the way back to that Sand Hill Road and Fishburne Road intersection?
I'm gonna defer to Greg.
All right.
I remember them saying something about they wanted them to be a quarter of a mile apart. This was only 600 and something. I don't remember exactly why that analysis, but.
So the distance between the intersection at Governor Road and Fishburne Road to Sand Hill Road intersection is only about 600 something feet?
Yes. But I think ultimately PennDOT said, okay, we're not going to get to a quarter of a mile unless you go way into that housing development. But I think their conclusion was having a signal there is much better than not having one.
So there's a proposal, I think, to have 233 parking spaces. Does that sound right to you?
Yes.
The ordinance allows for shared parking amongst the uses on the property. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then there's very specific tabulations and a chart that is utilized within the zoning ordinance to calculate the shared parking. Is that correct? Are you familiar with that?
Somewhat.
All right. Did someone else perform the analysis or calculations regarding the shared parking?
Yeah, the civil engineer did.
All right. So I'm not going to get into the calculations or asking you questions as to how the number was arrived at, but the number of proposed parking spaces is actually in excess of what's required by ordinance when you use the shared parking method, right?
Correct. We actually have more than enough.
Right. I think is it 216 or thereabouts that would be required?
Yeah. I want to say we're 12 over.
Okay.
12, I think.
So maybe it's 221. Maybe you're required to have 221.
Yes.
And you propose 233.
Yes.
Is there a reason why you propose to have the additional, let's say it's 12 spaces over and above what's required?
Is there a reason why we did that? You know, when you do the calculations, I'm a big fan of having sufficient parking so that you don't have people parking places that they shouldn't park. Or if you're trying to rent the space, the apartments or the retail, you can have tenants getting frustrated because their customers can't find a space. So as a developer, I tend to have a few extra. I'd rather have a few extra than have the bare minimum.
But you would agree with me that what the shared parking tabulations do is they calculate for the peak demand times how much parking is necessary for each use, correct?
That's correct.
So in theory, as long as those calculations are accurate, you would never exceed the amount of shared parking.
That's correct.
Required by ordinance.
Right. Because, the theory being people are going to show up at 5 or 6 or 7 at night, go into the apartments, and then leave at 7 in the morning. So they're going to be gone all day when the retail is there and busy. So
right.
It's kind of an ebb and flow.
Right. But you would agree with me that you could reduce the amount of impervious surface if you pulled out or got rid of those 12 extra spaces, correct?
We could, yes.
And you might be able to install some additional buffering instead of having impervious surface.
Yes.
And with respect to buffering issues, between the Sheetz gas station and your retail mixed-use apartment building, I see on the plan here, it shows, I guess, a tree right here?
Yes.
In between the Sheetz and the parking area, you have buffering there proposed?
Yes.
Those are trees or bushes of some sort?
Yes, trees.
Okay. Are you familiar with the zoning ordinance provision that requires there to be specific buffering between residential uses and that major fuel gas station type use?
Yeah.
So with that, do you feel this plan complies with that requirement?
Yes. The buffering is for a lot of different reasons. One, buffering the site from the street, which you see along Governor and Fishburne. Some of it is simply that you want to have trees kind of sporadically through the parking lot to create shade and so that the sun isn't beating down on the macadam, so you get some light absorption.
Right.
There's buffering, I think, fencing along the daycare to screen it from the cars, and there's screening along the south side of Sand Hill Road to buffer from, from the homes that are in here.
Okay. So the question I'm going to ask is going to focus, though, on the buffering between the Sheetz use and the apartment use. Do you have any concerns that when cars are coming in there late at night with their headlights on, there may be light, from the headlights of the cars that actually goes over towards the apartment use?
Thank you.
right now, the way the plan looks, you've got an area where there could be cars at gas pumps, and as we discussed before, this is 24 hours a day, 7 days of the week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you had cars at the gas pump that are facing towards the apartment building, or at least in that general direction, their headlights may be visible, right, to anyone who has windows on that side of the building.
That's possible, yes. Okay.
And with respect to the general lighting at Sheetz, I would imagine that's going to be installed in a manner whereby it's directed in a downward direction such that the light maintains or remains mostly within their parking lot. Is that true?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. But there will be at least maybe three gas pumps, it looks like, where cars could pull in and they would be facing in the direction of that apartment building, correct?
That's possible.
Is there anything that could be placed there so that it wouldn't affect the users of the apartment building?
I mean, the retail will be on the first floor. That will presumably be closed in the evening and night. The apartments will be, the windows will be probably 18 or 19 feet up from the macadam surface.
So, in other words, you would not expect that the headlights would shine directly into anyone's unit.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But you would agree with me at that distance, if there are headlights that are shining in that direction, there's still the potential that they're going to be visible to someone. I mean, it appears, just as a rough estimate, that that's approximately 50, 60 feet in between the two, maybe 100 feet.
Actually might be 200.
Okay. Between the canopy and the apartment building?
Yeah, I believe so. From here to the corner, I think it's slightly over 200 feet.
Okay. So with that distance, though, even though it's a decent distance away, the farther away you are, the more splay, in other words, of light you have, so it could travel in the upward direction of the apartment unit, correct?
Could, yes.
All right. Is there a prospect of maybe putting some buffering in closer to the apartment building, or maybe more on that median that's in between the Sheetz and the apartment building?
Yeah, that's something that we could definitely explore during the land development.
And you touched very briefly on stormwater management. I would imagine that's something I should ask one of your consultants as opposed to yourself. But you gave us a little bit of testimony regarding the general proposal, meaning it's going to be something that would be installed underneath the parking area, the main
yes.
parking area.
Yeah. So I mean, basically, the high point being here, so water's going to tend to flow down, and it's going to tend to flow down. Because back here is lower than out here. So our thinking was putting the storm water underground, it would allow us to capture water from the whole upper area, as well as, I think the idea would be to bring storm water off of the street and into the retention area, and then also these areas over here, again, being lower than over here, to allow water to accumulate in these green areas.
And then where would the release be?
I think the release is behind the daycare center. I think that's where the storm sewer exits out the surface.
The daycare center, meaning on the southern, the southwestern side.
Yeah, back in here. Yeah, down here.
So there was a comment, I believe it was from the Derry Township Planning Commission, regarding a zoning ordinance requirement that there be breaks in the facade of the apartment building. Did you ultimately propose breaks in the building facade for that structure?
Yes.
All right. So that has been taken care of.
Yeah. And the architect Doug Tilley will be doing a presentation. He'll show all that genius.
Those are all the questions I have at this time.
Well, as we announced at the beginning, we were looking for a good break point at 9. We're going to break now. So we're going to have to work out a new hearing date because Wednesday the 26th is no longer viable for some of the parties. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to think. I know there's something I'm missing. Why don't we go off the record now? If I can talk to the attorneys and try to work out a date. And I think Chuck has, there you go. We've got some dates. The building is available. Let me start with the board, and the board's going to give three or four dates, and then we'll throw them out to the parties and see if you guys are available. Chuck, can we go to November?
I was just being optimistic.
So I assume white is open, Chuck?
That's correct.
Okay.
Representative would not be available.
Are you going to get to him?
That night, probably not, based on tonight. The 21st works. The 14th, I have another meeting that night, but I can make it work.
I'm available the 7th or the 21st, but not the 14th.
All right. Mr. Getz? Is he still? Yeah. You good those nights?
14th and 21st work best for me.
How about the 7th?
I could make it work.
Okay. Mr. Crisp?
I'll make it work whatever day. I'm easy.
Mr. Winter?
Yes, any of the three.
And Mr. I'm sorry, I forgot your
Greenberg.
Name. Wilburton, yes.
Greenberg,
yes.
All but the 7th.
So the 7th, Roy doesn't work?
Man of the country. Sorry.
So with who, Jamie, Scott, you said the 14th were no good, right?
I can make it work.
Yeah.
I'll just need someone else to cover a planning commission meeting, so.
I don't think I can switch my meeting that night.
Okay. Well, that's...
Sounds like the 21st works for everyone.
I'll reserve all 3 days.
How about... How about the 29th?
Because nobody wants to see it.
That's fine with me.
I have another meeting that night. I could make it work. It's another hearing, but...
Mr.
No problem with the 29th.
29th. Chris, you're going to make
any
it?
Anytime. I will make myself available.
You're good?
November 29th?
Yes.
It's okay with me.
All right. We're going to do the 21st and the 29th.
Both at 6 o'clock.
Both at 6 o'clock. We're both going to run them about 3 hours.
So the 21st and the 29th.
Yeah, that was the next thing. As far as the exhibits go, the attorneys, if you give me your email address, I will get them scanned in. We'll try to set something up with you to just electronically distribute them to you. As for the other parties, same thing. Give me your email address. We'll try to set up some sort of electronic distribution of all the exhibits so you have them on hand. That sound doable?
I'd like a paper copy, actually.
Talk to Jamie. If he's making paper copies, talk to him. But yes. And that being said, I think we can close that. Actually, no, first, go on the record.
Yep. I got the meeting dates already.
You already got the meeting dates?
I did. Okay. Time, 6 o'clock, yep.
Great.
And the distribution of the exhibits.
Perfect.
Council, yeah.
Adjourned to be recommenced on Monday, the 21st of November at 6 p.m. Thank you very much for coming.